I know you want to condemn people. Of course you do. I understand this. Who doesn't? Yes. I also want to condemn people. It's so enjoyable. But how can we when no one chose their path? Their role, I should say, in the grand scheme of the universe. See, if you can believe it, this is Martin Zender, and this is the Revelation series. And we're getting Revelation, just not in the book of Revelation. Good. All right, I'm going to show you a picture of a baby on the studio cam. Look at this kid. I'm telling you what, I don't know who this kid is. I probably should. I'm at Waylon and Regina's home in Coral Springs, Florida, and I just saw this on the table in the other room. And it's a woodblock thing. It's a pictured thing they made into a picture. And I don't know who this kid is, but it's very cute. Very good looking kid. Now, I ask you this. If you're watching this on the Zender cam, does this kid look like it has made any important decisions lately? This child, and I mean no disrespect to the child, cannot even control its own bowel movements. Well, I haven't talked to the principals who are the guardians of this child yet. I'm assuming that by the look in the kid, how old do you think this kid is? What are you thinking? 10 months? I don't know. I had three kids of my own, but it's been a while. I can't really figure it out. But no. But look how cute. Look at the eyes. This kid is made in the image of God. Will you look at those fingers? And will you look at the dimples on the fingers? This child was made in the image of God. Look at the size of that head. I'm not saying it's abnormal. It's not. I think it's a normal size head, but there's a brain in there that is working overtime just trying to what? I don't know. I don't know why the brain is not doing very much at this stage of the growing up process. But the child knows enough to put a finger into its mouth and drool. Now, I want you to know that God treats us as his children. It's true that we grow up to be sons, and we grow up to have a nearer and dearer relationship to him that we understand, that we grasp, and we grow. But in this certain sense, the sense of God being the potter and us being the clay, we are like this cute little baby who was born not of its own volition, not of its own will, not of its own desire or design. Has it? No, it hasn't been. And I'm going to tell you this, that the person who cut you off this morning on the highway started out looking like this. That's right. The person in line at Walmart who snubbed you when you tried to say hi to them. What's wrong with people? What's wrong with people? Do they have too many friends they can't use another one? That idiot started out like this. Does this baby look like an idiot? No. You would not look at the picture of this kid and say, that's an idiot. You say, that's a very cute child. Very cute. Very cute. It's googling. It's gurgling. Look at the bright. Look at the little reflections in the eyes. I like what the hair's doing over here. Look at this little curl. Right? Right there. You see that little thing? Huh? Huh? Yeah. All right. So this baby was born to worship God for eternity. I don't know if this baby was chosen to be in the body of Christ. I don't know that. I don't have this information. I don't have this knowledge. But I know that as a member of the human race, this baby is included in the work of Christ because Christ came to save all those who Adam condemned. I hate to tell you, but this baby is condemned in Adam. This baby, I hope I'm not hurting anyone's feelings, but is mortal. This baby is mortal. It has the death gene already operating in it. I know, terrible. I wish it didn't, but hey, I didn't invent death. If I had created the universe, no death. No death in my universe. Sad. But in a way, happy. Because we have to look ahead. We have to look ahead. My problem is in life. This is my problem in life. As I spend too much time looking backward. And I mourn over things of the past. When what I ought to be doing, and I've exhorted you to do this, to look past tombstones. I like the lighting a lot better when I show the picture of this baby because I get a better thing happening with the lighting. So I'm just going to continue to hold the picture of this baby. Oh my God, my fingernails are horrible. Oh my God. You know what? This is, I can't even walk. I clean my fingernails. I really do. I'm not really metrosexual, but I do clean my fingernails, and I just have to walk across the room, and my fingernails pick up dirt. Now I've been drawing attention to it. But This child was created to worship God for eternity. And this child will worship God for eternity, as will everybody that you see out there. This child has a role to play. We don't know what it is yet. We don't know what it is, but God has predetermined it. And God has will put this child in the environment it needs to be in, and he obviously has already done it because the baby's here that will be suited to for this child's celestial destiny, ultimate destiny. Maybe I shouldn't say celestial, because some human beings are destined for the new earth. Some human beings are destined for the celestial world. So we don't know. But God treats all of this, in a sense, like this baby. And our destiny is in his hands. And the destiny of everyone out there is in God's hands. And this whole scheme is going to make sense to you once you see how it ends. Once you see how it ends. So you can't be looking at my image here talking to you, or you can't be looking at the image of this baby and know what tomorrow holds. But God does. And there are some very sad things that attack us, intervene in our happy little world. You remember I used that Chris Farley quote from the movie, Wrecking the Little Field Trip, right? And so God wrecks our field trips all the time. So we don't know the immediate future, but we must know that God has a good goal in mind. And that was written into the script ahead of time. That was written into the script, the goal of the universe. So I've told you this before, but I think it's been a long time. We are given the end of the story while we're going through this trauma. This is a great advantage. We know that all things are going to be consummated in Christ, and that all creation will be delivered from the tyranny of decay, of death, the tyranny of vanity, of frustration and futility that we all experience. All creation will be delivered through Christ. Because I want you to think now of creation as a telescope. I said that God was alone in the universe. Then I said that Jesus Christ came out of God. Then I said that the eons came out of Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to tell you that the creation was made to hang on the eons. So the creation comes, we have an account of it in Genesis. And now Adam comes, and then Eve, and then they have children. So you can see the telescope going farther and farther out. It starts big, a telescope does, and then it gets smaller, like a cone, a very long cone. Maybe picture a fishing pole or something like that. But now, you see, what God's going to do is he's going to retract this whole thing. He's going to bring it back to himself. And the question would be, why would God do it in the first place if he's just going to bring it back? But he brings it back, I've said this a million times, richer for the education that it received through the agency of evil and this horrible crap that we go through down here. So everybody wants to reason now. Everybody, the most mail I get is, Martin, why does God blame people that he makes hard? Martin, how could God let all this evil happen? And people are being taught and trained to trust. Okay, I need to say this. When this telescope comes out, all these people, this is what God does. Remember I said he's burdened. He's burdened with all this information. So the first thing he does is he wants to tell human beings. First, he has to have human beings. So he tells Christ, A1A, tells Christ. Then Christ creates other beings. And then his plans are whispered about the universe, bandied about the celestial realms. Then human beings are created. And we're just shoved down here into this mud hole. Okay, and the creation must have gasped when they saw the condition we were in. I mean, you might think the Garden of Eden was just fantastic, but the celestials would probably say this is the slum of the universe. And the planet Earth is indeed, our solar system is the slum of the Milky Way. We're on a far arm of the Milky Way. Our planet, our solar system is. So, just like Nazareth was the scum of Galilee, or the Holy Land, whatever they called it back then, Canaan, we, as the solar system, does our solar system have a name? Well, it should, right? The galaxy has a name. The solar system doesn't have a name. like S51 or 62-74H. No, okay. I'm being told that our solar system does not have a name. So I would just call it George. So we are located in a crap portion of the Milky Way galaxy, which is very appropriate. So the celestials see this, and they say, as Nathaniel said concerning Nazareth, can anything good come out of George? And what does come out is a race of people modeled after Jesus Christ, I believe, who are being degraded beyond, above and beyond any degradation known among the celestials. And they are destined to be visited by their prototype, Jesus Christ, who is going to tell a few of them the secret of the universe, that God brought all of these things out of the telescope so that the universe and the creation of the universe and the seahorses could experience evil, so that they could come back around the warm campfire of God and be enjoying God and be happy for eternity. Okay, but he makes sure that most people are groping around in the dark. This is what Paul said on Mars Hill, that humanity is groping in the dark. That's the analogy he used. But Jesus Christ came as a light that shined. But who saw the light? The woman at the well, John the Baptist, his disciples. But even they didn't see the light until the Holy Spirit came on them later and explained everything. They were nitwits at first. And so God calls a few lonely outcasts on this planet, among this race, to give secrets to. One of these people was the Apostle Paul, and he was given secrets far greater than those given to Israel. And so Paul wrote them down on a wooden table, on a piece of parchment, rolled it up, and these are the scriptures, and nobody gets it. Nobody understands it. Oh, I got to remind myself on Monday, I need to tell you about Paul. I need to tell you something about Paul. Monday, Paul. So we are among the very few of this race. Is this baby one of them who's going to get the information? I don't know. Believe me, I'm going to find out who this kid is, and I'm going to hit this kid up with the info. So pronto. I'm going to put my show next to this kid's crib. I'm going to play the Zender on Revelation. I'm going to play him the old Zender talks. And I'm going to make sure that this kid gets the information, because if I have anything to do with it, and God does use people, I'm going to bring this kid the information, the secret information, the special information that most of this dark world doesn't have, that there is a select few members of this race that will be used, who will be used by God to reconcile the universe to himself, to bring that telescopic protrusion back to its source, which is God. And I am being used for this. You are being used for this. And if I have anything to do with it, this cute kid will be used for this.